All right, good morning once again. Merry Christmas to all. Our scripture text is taken from the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, which reads this way. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." So let's begin by reading the good old story, the Christmas story, beginning in Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. We're going to read from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night." So this same country is a reference to the common lands of Bethlehem Ephratah in Judah. And these certain shepherds were living out in the fields with their flock. They had caves and such for shelter. It may well have been December 25th or some other such day. That December 25th is in the rainy season in Israel, and there's plenty of green grass for pasture. A lot of folks say Jesus couldn't have been born on December 25th, and they miss the point that Jesus wasn't born in Woonsocket, Rhode Island, or Greenland, or any other such place. He was born in a place where the climate was a little more temperate, a little bit more akin to North Carolina and what you get over there. So we don't know the day that Jesus was born, but we as Christians have liberty to celebrate any day that we'd like, as long as we're celebrating that day unto the Lord. Amen? In verse 9 reads, "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid." So the angel appears, and the Shekinah glory of God shines around these humble shepherds, and they were greatly afraid. And I would think that if we were there, we would be greatly afraid and humbled as well. In verse 10 reads, "And the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" So this is their great cause for joy. And then we have the sign to the shepherds. "And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" So there was joy in heaven. And this great event resulted in such spontaneous and jubilant praise that even heaven could not contain the joy, and it was heard right down here on earth in that those common lands outside that little town of Bethlehem. So our applications this morning come from verse 10. "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people.'" So our applications are two this morning. First, needless fear. And second, needful joy. Needless fear. Thompson's enumerates seven reasons why the Christian should fear not. First, God's blessings in the journey of life. "And the Lord appeared to him," that is Jacob, "in the same night and said, 'I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake.'" So the patriarchs had no cause for fear. They had great faith, but sometimes that faith would waver a little bit. Or sometimes they put themselves into situations like Jacob did, where there might be some consequences for those situations, but the promises of God that he had given Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were unconditional, and so it is for you and I. God has promised to be good to us. God has promised to keep the Christian until the end, and he gives us a means to maintain that communion and fellowship with him. As we go along through life, we can confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and he's going to bring us out on the other side. So if you're a blood-bought believer of Jesus Christ, fear not, because even in this journey of life, even when things seem uncertain, even when you fail, even when you sin, God's going to bring you through that. And then the Lord said to Moses on another occasion, "Do not fear him, for I have delivered him into your hand with all his people in his land, and you shall do to him as you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt at Heshbon." So even though the adversaries may seem many, they may seem strong, the obstacles may seem difficult, fear not, for the Lord has come to save your soul. And he's going to bring you through. And then the Lord said to him, the Lord appeared to Gideon one day, and he said, "Peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die." So the Lord reassured Gideon when he met the Lord one day. Though the enemies of Israel were many, the Lord was going to bring about a victory for Gideon. Secondly, a second reason why our fear is needless is that God provides supplies in times of famine. Now, we live in uncertain times in this country. We've seen a little bit of shortages, but only the tip of the iceberg. You know, we've been inconvenienced. We ran out of toilet paper, you know, and a couple other little things. There are times throughout human history, and who knows if we might end up living through some of these times, where there be a shortage of supply of needful things. But you know what? God is going to provide exactly what we need. And Elijah said to her, the widow in the time of famine, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son." So this widow didn't have enough bread to eat, but God took care of her supplies. God is going to take care of us spiritually, and he's going to take care of us physically. And he's proven that he's going to take care of us physically because he has done the greater thing. He has sent his son into this world to take care of our spiritual problems, the problem of sin. Third, protection in peril. And now we want to look at a verse with regard to Elisha. So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." So again, even though we may be surrounded by enemies, we may be surrounded by many difficulties, we may be surrounded by many pandemics, physical pandemics, social pandemic, economic pandemic, political pandemic, the Lord's going to get the remedy for our spiritual problem, the spiritual pandemic that besets our world. Strength and weakness. God promises to provide for you strength and weakness. "Fear not, fear not." Don't have any needless fear. "For I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Fifth, companionship in trial. God promises to give us companionship in and through our trials. "But now thus saith the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." Isn't that a wonderful thing? We're called by name, by the God of the universe. That is a testimony to his love and care for you. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place." The sixth reason why fear is a needless thing, is that God provides for us overshadowing care. Overshadowing care. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. And if he takes care of the birds, he's going to take care of you. And we had those snowy days, those cold, cold, snowy days. And, you know, I felt a little bit of pity for those birds. We got a couple of cardinals in the backyards. They were on the forsythias, and the forsythias are dead. You know, you got the two cardinals and husband and wife, I guess, right? And a few sparrows flying around. And you see those things, and they looked like they were a little bit cold, you know, but I got to thinking, I said, you know what, the Lord is going to take care of those birds. The Lord's going to get through those birds. And if they need to go somewhere else, if they need to get south, the Lord is going to provide for them. And they're going to go, and they're going to come back, and they're going to come back to that very same forsythia tree next year. Isn't it amazing how the birds, they don't have GPS, they don't have Rand McNally map books or any of this stuff. They don't have computers. But they manage to go wherever it is they go, and they come back and they end up at the very same tree the following year. Amazing how God takes care of the birds. And if God takes care of the birds like that, how much more so is he going to take care of you? But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He has risen just as he said." God's overshadowing care. God sent his son into the world. And we talk about that myrrh, one of those gifts that the wise men brought to Jesus over there in that house. And that myrrh was also used as an embalming spice. You know, this one came into the world to die. We come into the world that we may have life, but Jesus came into the world to die, but God didn't leave him there. God didn't leave him in that tomb. He took up his life, and he rose again and completed the work. Everything went full circle from Christmas morning to Resurrection Day. "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." In the seventh and final segment here, dealing with needless fear, life beyond the grave. Hear the testimony of the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death.'" So Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, has come. He came for you and he has finished his work. Why then do you have needless fear? Why do you fear a virus and all of the things that might happen because of this plague or anything else that is external in your life? Be smart, control what you can, and leave the rest to God. God doesn't call us to needless fear, but rather he calls you to needful joy. "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." So he brings great joy to all people, and you are not the one exception to this joy. We sing joy to the world, but do you know this joy within you? I'll quote it. I won't sing it because I want you to stay for the rest of the service. "Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. Let heaven and nature sing." Have you no cause for joy? Have you no joy because of this testimony? For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Jesus knew that his disciples must go through trials and tribulations on this earth. And so he always lives to minister to us. And of his words, he said, "These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." Friend, may you enjoy the blessings of a spiritual life and say with Isaiah, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations." If you refuse to cry out in joy this Christmas morning, friends, the angels will still be singing, and even the rocks will cry out. The shepherds were privileged, so blessed, to see the Christ child, and they believed. But though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Now, friends, I pray that these words rid you of needless fear, that they give you confidence to face the day, to go through this season, and enter into a new year, and that they usher in needful joy. But before we go, I must speak a word to the unbeliever, the skeptic, and I dare say to the professing Christian who perhaps may not in actuality belong to God. You may be in attendance today. You may be listening to a CD or on the internet or by some other miracle of technology. And to you I say that you've heard much of needless fear and how fear is needless for the Christian and joy is the needful thing. But there is such a thing for the unbeliever as needful fear. This is a healthy fear of God that leads men and women to consider their own mortality and God's right and authority to judge us all. Fortunately, the good news is that he has chosen to judge us according to his grace and mercy, or else we wouldn't have a chance. For the believer, this means that God's righteous judgment of you has fallen on Christ and given you yet another reason for joy inexpressible this Christmas morn. But for the unbeliever, the full weight of God's judgment for your sin will fall upon you. And so I want to leave you with this one verse taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, in verse 36. "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." May your needful fear result in the needful response of faith in He whom God sent into the world 2,000 years ago to do His work and save your soul. And may you too experience the needful joy of salvation this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this appointed day, for this appointed season. If there are any of us here, yeah, even many of us here, who have engaged in a little bit of needless fear in these past days, may we be encouraged by your overshadowing care and boundless love. And Lord, we pray, fill that place that's been dwelt by needless fear with needful joy. Joy inexpressible and overflowing. May we walk forward as Christians in holy boldness as we celebrate the season of the birth of our Savior. And Lord God, may he or she who is in the hearing of this message who has now found conviction through the Word of God and known a needful fear of what a lack of faith response does, come to you this morning, that on the authority of God's Word, you might experience a birth also this Christmas day, a spiritual birth, which will secure your place in heaven forevermore and give you cause to be rid of fear, both needful and needless, and instead to be filled with needful joy. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for hearing our prayers. We pray that you guide the remainder of this service. In Jesus' name, amen.